Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you from an altitude of 5,280 feet. And we're psyched to have you listening to the Mile High Podcast, whether it be on iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube or any of the channels that it's downloaded live, you know, around the world. So make sure if you are listening to this or watching it to hit the subscribe button, because we never want you to miss an episode of TIP. This particular episode, I am so super stoked to not only be having one of our speakers from Mile High coming up August 15th to 18th, 2019. If you haven't reserved your seats, you want to do that, www.riseuptomilehigh.com. Not only that he's one of the speakers, but also he's one of our homegrown heroes practicing in the Mile High State. And I've seen him, his practice explode coming out of the gate. And I'm so inspired by him in terms of the future generation of chiropractic and chiropractors and what him and his friends, colleagues are doing. Dr. Dan Wallace is just a spitfire for the principal. His mission is to help others cast a vision for a better future so they can realize the expression of the potential. Their potential. He does that both in TIC and in his community. And he's one of AMP's boards. What is it called? It's a board of
advisors. Last year,
board advisors. Board of advisors. AMP boards of advisors. Michael Viscarelli is going to hit me on that one. He's one of AMP's board of advisors, but he's also just all in all a great guy and a great family guy and a great chiropractor. Thank you for being on the podcast, Dr. Dan.
Yeah, Dr. Danny, man, I'll tell you, it's an honor to be on. You have inspired me in so many ways. I remember being out to the first Mile High years ago with Dr. Michael and Dr. Jeremy. Those guys were speaking, and I've just always been really grateful for you. I know we share some similar mentorship even, you know, in chiropractic, and, you know, I just appreciate you and what you're doing and the inspiration that you've been for chiropractors around the world, bud, you know, showing us the way and staying focused amidst all kinds of different stuff, trials, health, all those things. But it's an honor to be on with you today, and can't wait. And I'm extremely honored and taking very seriously to speak at Mile High here next week, man. I can't even believe it. So,
well, we're psyched to have you there, and we're honored to have you on stage. And let's get down to the nitty gritty about you and your practice so people get to know you and so they know how they can rise up in practice and do more, because there's a lot of people that say what you do and what I do is not possible. So we want to tell them that it is possible. So first of all, you've been under chiropractic care since birth because you're a second generation chiropractor. Can you share anything about growing up in a chiropractic family and deciding to be a chiropractor?
Yeah. Thanks. You know, what an honor that is, you know, and a rare thing. I think, you know, we see a lot of second generation chiropractors, third generation, and I'm really grateful for that. I grew up, you know, understanding that getting adjusted and subluxation and stuff like that was just normal. But, you know, and actually what's funny, I wish, you know, he was here. My dad just left a minute ago and he was just down here. I just adjusted him. You know, so it's a cool thing for us as a family these days, but I didn't really catch the fire for chiropractic until college, until before I decided to go to school. And that's not any fault of my, you know, parents or anything like that, but it just wasn't drilled home as like, hey, this is, you know, the passion for chiropractic that we have. You know, my dad's a phenomenal chiropractor, but it was just kind of something that I did. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll do something in health, but probably not chiropractic. And so it wasn't until I really caught the wind of like, no, this is about the brain, and the subluxation is a bigger deal than just back pain and neck pain. And that's what turned my crank. And, you know, it was Dr. John Madeira that showed me really what it looked like to serve a lot of people, to be a high volume practice and to make an impact. And that this is bigger than just, you know, helping people's necks and backs feel better. And again, no disrespect to how I grew up. I'm extremely grateful for that. But it took, you know, seeing that win and getting the inspiration, went down to Life University, met a lot of those guys, met Dr. Reekman early. It was about 2005, I believe, I first met these guys. I was still in high school. I had no idea what I was going to do. And, you know, here we are, you know, and just what a blessing, man. And you're right. You know, my practice is in Fort Collins, Colorado, right here with you. You know, so grateful to be in the Mile High State. And I just feel really fortunate to, you know, have, from the time I went to school, I said, you know what, this is what I want to do. And who can I find that I can learn from, because I'm not stupid enough to think I can just figure it out on my own. Who can I find that I can learn from and you know, learn how to be a great chiropractor, locate, analyze, reduce subluxation, create value in our community, get kids under care, get families under care, and make that a no-brainer, which is not easy to do, as we all know. Bumped into a couple guys by the name of Dr. Jeremy Hess and Dr. Michael Viscarelli. And here we are. So what an honor, man, and a blessing. And it's been a game changer, you know, for my life and for my family. So,
well, you know, it sounds a little bit similar to me. I didn't decide to be a chiropractor, even though I'm second generation, till I was an undergrad. You know, I was like, I got care, and but nobody pushed it on me in my family. Yeah. Well, maybe the last year or two, but then, yeah. I was like, you know, just, but then there was a point where my development, I was like, this is what was a calling for me. So, and probably all the groundwork there. And then, like you said, like we know chiropractors that really, you know, say to their kids, like, well, you can do anything else after you become a chiropractor. Like your dad probably didn't do that. I didn't do that to my kid, but you know, they have an interest, and I kind of hope they'll do it, but we'll see. Yeah. And yes, mention this, a common mentor, John Madeira, was instrumental in everything I do. So you and I have a lot of similarities. So with that, you know, there's a lot of people that say, and I heard this because I came out to Colorado and practiced here, and people told me, well, you can't do it this way, right? Mm-hmm. And there were very, very few subluxation conscious practitioners, I'll say that, at all, in terms of their method of practice. A lot of people say, hey, the adjustment's not enough. You can't just do adjusting people and cash-based practice. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, we only have an hour, right? So I'll be careful here. No, I'm kidding. Man, I got the same stuff. You know, I think I've told you a little bit of my story coming out to Fort Collins, that a lot of people saying, hey, it's saturated. You know, people are over it out there. I had people on the CCA board in my district saying, hey, this area, chiropractors are sucking wind, man. You know, it's not where you want to open. Find a spot that's a little blah, blah, blah. All this stuff.
I was told that too.
Yeah. And thankfully it was, you know, again, mentorship and people in my life being like, man, you got this, you know, go, because it can get in your head, especially as a student, as a young doc, you just graduated. I'm like, got all this debt. I got a family, got a wife. I'm like, what am I going to do? I will tell you, man, part of the reason I'm so passionate about students and the young doc and this next generation of chiropractors is because I believe so strongly that if we can really hone in on the message and on the customer experience and create a phenomenal experience for the people that walk through our doors and communicate chiropractic in a way that makes sense and that creates value for them and makes it a no-brainer to get their families checked, the sky's the limit. And we've seen that, and you've seen that. That doesn't mean it's easy. But it's very, very doable. Every time I go, we do corporate talks all over the community, and I never go into these things and, you know, get done and people are like, yep, thank you. You know, heard that. Like, I've got a chiropractor that finds subluxation already. So, but cool information. Thanks so much. Never once does that happen. Right. It's the same thing, you know, like it's a blue ocean out there, despite what anybody wants to say, it's blue ocean. It's just a matter of getting into your community, getting in the trenches. I think we're getting into a position, I'm going to talk about this a little bit, getting into a position where it's almost like chiropractors want to work less and see less people. And, you know, I don't know. It's a whole conversation right now that's kind of crazy in our profession. And so for the person that wants to make an impact and wants to make a difference and wants to give people a message of hope for their life and for their health and what the importance of having a nervous system that's free of interference and the optimum expression that can come from that, the doors are wide open, you know. And I to this day, I mean, last week I took a call from a new chiropractor, just didn't know what to do, having a tough time getting new people in the door and things like that. And so it's just a matter of going for it, communicating well, creating value, and putting butts in the seats. And it's an important way to know how to do that. And when you do that, sky's the limit, man. You know, it's a lot of fun to see the results and see the families and see the kids and see the testimonials. And if we're willing to work ahead of time to get there, you're going to, you know, as I always tell these students, man, if you're, it's what's real for us is real for anybody watching this. If you're willing to put the work in and put the effort in and learn to communicate tick with excellence, it's a lot of fun, man. So that's what I love getting to do is inspire that into young chiropractors and old chiropractors, man. My goodness. I feel like that's where it's the hardest part right now. You know, these docs are having a tough time kind of like getting out of this pain model, you know, and I get that. It's just changing up that communication.
Yep. Yeah. And that I had many of those conversations. Colorado saturated. Yep. Don't open up in Boulder. Like for people that I thought were mentors, you know, I said, well, I'm going to open up in Boulder and I'm just going to adjust people. I'm not going to do this insurance thing. And yep. let's see what happens. And you know, a mentor of mine, you know him, said there's no shortage of spines distorted. That's yep. what he used to tell me. So that's very true. Now with that, some people don't take off like you in practice. You sure. definitely work hard. I think that's vital. And I think you have to have a good work ethic. And that's true, not just for chiropractic, but anything in life. What are some other key things other than work ethic that you think are instrumental in a person being successful out of the gate?
It's a great question. And I think this is what we try to hammer home so hard, especially as students, is you got to get reps and experience ASAP. I mean, I think if you want to open a practice out of the gate, you can, but you got to make sure you're in an office and serving and learning as constantly as you possibly can. No excuses, you know, board, school, all this stuff. I mean, I get it, but man, my wife and I, and God bless her. I'm so blessed to have a wife that caught the mission, you know, and said, you know what, I want to do this with you. She didn't grow up wanting to be a chiropractic office manager. She's not anymore. She gets to stay home with our baby girl. And that was our goal, is to let's get the practice going. Let's build a team around us so we can continue to build our life, which is more important to me than chiropractic. My family is. Like, that's important too. But I will tell you, getting the work done in school and saying, this is the fourth quarter. You know, this is your home stretch right now. When you're in first quarter, you're not early in school. Like, you got to start now, finding a mentor, finding somebody that you want to emulate, going to things like Mile High, coming to the AMP conference, going to Cal Gym, whatever it is, getting out there and getting yourself immersed in chiropractic and getting in office experience. It's a unique thing that as a chiropractor, we not only have to be a great chiropractor, but if you want to run your own practice, you got to know how to run a business. And that's two very different skill sets in managing team and inspiring team and creating team members and not employees and people that aren't just, you know, coming in for a job, but can really catch the mission and be mission minded and create my associate doc, who's amazing, Dr. Andres Julia, yesterday was talking to us about how we create a movement, you know, within our community rather than just a practice that people like. And that's a very different thing. And that takes a team. And that's probably the hardest part of practice, is a great team and developing that and keeping great people. So all these things I'm saying can get pretty overwhelming. And so as a young doc, as a young student, the opportunity to get into offices and see it happen and learn. I mean, I used to go to Dr. Hess's early in school, Dr. Jeremy Amanda Hess, and just sit there, you know, and just like be wherever they allowed me to be and just sit there and watch. And then at night I would grab a mop and grab a broom and just help clean up and do whatever I could, clean a toilet, throw out trash, whatever it took. I did that long enough. They said, hey, you know, do you know how to do this part of the process? I said, yes. They said, prove it. And I'll never forget the first time I did a procedure in front of Amanda Hess. I was freaking out. And, you know, so then I got to do some reps while I was there. So you learn it there. If you don't do that, I think, you know, there's some, you got to find the right person to have a great associateship, get some more reps and go out there. It's a matter of in-office experience and learning how to create a phenomenal customer experience for your community. If you're not ready to do that, it's going to be very hard. You can do it, but it's going to take a lot more time and a lot more money. And, you know, there's huge value to proper mentorship. And I think that is something that we really need to hone in on in chiropractic and, you know, diving into that and making sure it's not chiropractors eating their young, but saying, hey, we're here to serve you, support you, and help raise chiropractic up, elevate our profession the way that we believe it's supposed to be done.
And that's one of the things I so appreciate about you, and I so appreciate about AMPT, is that there's a mentorship. that you really know that people are, and if anybody knows Dr. Dan, and you'll know this after you hear him at Mile High, you know, if he's doing something, he's not doing it just to help that individual, but he's doing it for chiropractic. He knows that mentoring someone is not about that one person, though he has a big, you know, heart of gold to help them, but also he's doing it, as I know also Michael Viscarelli is, and others, because they know chiropractic needs that. They need to, we need to grow a future chiropractic, and that involves mentoring, you know, people in many different skill sets. So appreciative of that for you and others. So,
yeah, thanks, Zach.
Yeah. Now you've been at Mile High. You said the first one, correct me, am I wrong? I think you've been at everyone, haven't you?
Well, that's what I mean. Like since the first one. Yeah. Everyone since then. Yeah.
Everyone since the first one, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. First Mile High. So I'm pretty sure. So that being said, that's awesome. Because I remember you as a student being there and being excited about chiropractic. What are things that you appreciate about Mile High, either chiropractically or in Colorado?
What I love about it, man, is that it's about chiropractic. And that's not just to, you know, like kind of skirt that question. But what I mean is, I think we need stuff like this that says, hey, let's get chiropractors together, all of them. You know, I think we need to cut out the nonsense of like this group and this side and this, you know, private Facebook group and against everybody else over here and all this stuff. I mean, we always talk about it, you know, infighting, and I get that's kind of an annoying conversation, but it's reality. And what I love about chiropractic, or what about Mile High, is that I do feel like Dr. Danny and, you know, your wife, Dr. Rochelle, you guys done an amazing job at saying this is chiropractic and we're all going to get together and we're going to make it better. And you know, I think for all of us, we can always, you know, continue to bring value, and we're going to, all the speakers, and I'm honored to be on the, you know, speaker list with some of the people in there, but it's extremely humbling. And I think that the mindset of chiropractic community and going through these challenges that we are right now together, whether it's, you know, the realities of Australia, Canada, kids, you know, all the stuff going on, we need really good chiropractors stepping up and saying, hey, what can we do to contribute? We need to join our organizations, join our state organizations. As funny as it is, and I have zero excuses about this, like 20 minutes ago, I just joined the IFCO, and I don't know why it's taken me 4 years to do that, but I was like, oh my gosh, I still like have not, like, no reason. It's just, you know, whatever it is, I have no excuses. I don't know why, but I was like, I'm getting on this thing. I got to, you know, jump on and do that. And so officially in, you know, so, I'm excited, but, I think it's a matter of getting everybody together and saying, hey, we're on the same mission here. Like, you know, if we want to communicate value in the location analysis and reduction of subluxation, make that normal for our population and for the public, we got to provide a great experience. We got to communicate well, and we all need to talk about the best practices and the ways to do it. Now, the nice thing about chiropractic is we can have our own little flares in there and things like that, which is great for all of us. I think it's really important, though, that we communicate well to the public. And I believe this conversation, Danny, that you and I are having is probably why people sell out. Because we don't learn it, we don't get it, you know, we don't have confidence in our in the adjustment. We learn that this is about moving fixations, and you know, I mean, how it'd be hard to build a practice off of that model. So of course you're gonna start doing injections into knees and, you know, whatever it is, you know, just to support your family, okay? And that, you know, there's no fault in that, but it's not great for our profession. And so anyway, my point is, you know, getting together and getting everybody on the same page. I love that about Mile High. And I know that, the guys in AMP are trying to do that too. So, and this isn't just about like you, AMP, it's about like chiropractic, like get together. Let's hear from some great speakers. Billy DeMoss came out this past weekend. It was a phenomenal conference, man. And he just brought some rain, you know, and brought some fire to the group. You know how he is. He's going to be out Mile High too. So, you know, that's what I love about Mile High. And every year it's growing, it's getting better, content's improving, as it always should. You know, it should keep getting better. I know you're committed to that, just like I am, always improving. You know, we've never arrived.
Well, and that's the thing I feel, and you just echoing what you said, is that we're all in this together. whether you are a TRT doc or a network doc or an AMP doc or a BDC or Schubel Vision or whatever, you know, hey, we got to not throw rocks. We got to mentor other doctors and love and support each other, even if we practice differently, as long as we're subluxation conscious, adjustment focused, and bring more people into that circle. So I'm so grateful you're the newest IFCO member, by the way. So that's super exciting.
It's so weird. I'm almost embarrassed to say that, but I have no excuses. It's just like, that's reality. I don't know why I didn't join before. I'm really sorry, guys. But hey, I'm in now.
Well, that's why we got you on the podcast. That was the timing.
That was the kicker for me. I was like,
that was the kicker. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's another thing for either, you know, new docs, people in school, key to being, you know, being successful in practice and in adjustment focused practice?
Yeah, confidence and clarity. And that doesn't just sit, you know, at the surface, you know, because the attack's going to come. You know, it is. It's inevitable. We're working with people. People are going to have their own things and agendas. And when the rocks are thrown or when the stuff's coming, do you have enough base and confidence within yourself and in your identity? You know, like, who are we as chiropractors? You know, I always like to ask the question, like, if you woke up tomorrow with the practice of your dreams, you know, and all the people you wanted to see and the type and the smell and the look and the whatever it is, what would change? And the caveat to that is, what's stopping you, you know? And confidence and clarity in knowing exactly what we're going to do is what's going to keep you and, you know, good people around you is what's going to keep us up when the attacks come. And I think that is key, because, you know, don't let anybody, you know, like sidestep, you know. And I think that's I think authenticity is also going to be an important influx in chiropractic. Like, if it's tough right now, like, be willing to say that, like, hey, this has been tough. I'm having a tough season, or, you know, it's just a season. It's a long game. I think we get caught up in going to conferences and being like, hey, what's up? Hi, pie. Everything's great. You know, it's not always, it's tough sometimes. And I think authenticity, I really value that in my relationships with my friends and with my mentors. And I think that's a really important thing. And I think having confidence and having support when the attack comes, when you feel like you're kind of getting kicked, when you get the bad review or when you get the person that doesn't get into what you say, is that, you know, is that enough to kind of bring you down and make you think you got to change something? Or can we say, hey, let's keep improving, let's keep getting better, but let's realize this is a big mission. This is not a one-time thing. It's not personal. This is me giving my best to my community because they deserve it. Confidence and clarity. And that is only developed through experience. And you can get experience in school. You can get experience out in the marketplace. You just got to get out there, take some reps, take some hits, get some cuts, build some calluses, and get back in the fight.
Hey, you know, authenticity is in. Being authentically tick is a rare thing these days, sadly. And it's really an incredible outreach edge when you actually really deliver the principle and deliver the adjustment, and they can't get that elsewhere. So I don't believe in the whole saturated thing either, as you don't. So now also in practice, you've been in practice for how many years?
Four
years, right? And you've had, I put in one of our posts about Mile High, it was a thunderball explosive growth in your practice. And that doesn't happen without lots of intention, a lot of focus. It's not like, oh, Dan was lucky, right? Mm-hmm. He rolled up his sleeves and got to work, and also had to have a lot of resources to help him behind him, right? So a lot of people don't necessarily credit that. They say, that's okay for Chris Zeno, or it's okay for Michael Viscarelli or Daniel Knowles, or, you know, but, you know, Dan Wallace, but, you know, no one else can do that. But that's not true, right? And I want people to realize it. And that's why we encourage you to be at Mile High. That's why I put the energy into it, because I want our backyard, your backyard, Dr. Dan, and mine, to be one that looks like a chiropractic backyard more so than when I leave here, you know, than when I came here. That, you know, when I leave, it looks more so like that, because I know what it looked like before. And all of you guys, it's great to see more AMP docs come into the state, and because you guys lift that up. And other camps as well, but we're doing that all together. So thank you for your passion and compassion for the public. With having a practice, doing all the hard work, and it's fun work, not always hard, it's fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Energizing, it's passionate.
Laundry is work, right? Going to the office every day is like, that's a gift, man. You know, it's amazing.
So that being said, what are some keys for keeping that balance, that life, that home life happy while you're doing that?
Great question, Doc. I think this is arguably one of the most important conversations that we can have as chiropractors, and as chiropractors that are maybe starting to taste a little success, and whatever that means. Maybe it's, you know, volume, maybe it's, you know, business margin, whatever. Until your home life is right, like, I don't believe that anything matters. Like, if you can be Mr., you know, 3,000 a week and 10 practices and blah, blah, blah. And if your home life sucks, like, I don't think you've made it. I don't think that, I think it's really impossible to be successful that way. And I think that's probably the most important dynamic in conversation that we could have as chiropractors, because I think it's really easy to, I don't want to word this, get on the mission, which is important, and then get clouded by that. And then kind of get a little taste and kind of say, you know, man, like, this is kind of fun. It's kind of almost intoxicating. I'm going to get some credit here. I'm going to get shouted out. I'm going to go speak on stage. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, the conscious focus of priorities. I mean, I'll tell you, if I am blessed to live a long time, or if I don't make it out of here this afternoon, I want to be remembered as a phenomenal husband that loved his wife, served his wife, was faithful to his wife, a great dad that was there for my kids, that, you know, helped raise them up in a loving home, in faith, and in, you know, serving the community and what that means, and what it means to be servant leader. And I want to be a great friend. And then I want to be remembered as a phenomenal chiropractor who gave my best to my community and helped advance the profession and, gave back to organizations and helped and kept, you know, and moved the ball forward with subluxation tick so that my kids and grandkids can do it. But in that order, I think it's really sad, and it breaks my heart when I see, like, even people I grew up looking up to and in school and all this stuff, mentors and all these things, blowing up their families, leaving their families, and ruining that. I don't believe that's not the model, you know, that we're looking at. We need people that have the proper perspective. And I think that you can do that is the cool thing. You know, that's possible, but it just takes a lot of intention. And I have to really guard my time. I have to really guard my wife's heart and time, and make sure, because it's, man, I mean, like, there's nights, you know, and I've had lots of days I leave before my daughter wakes up, I get home after she's in bed, and I'm just early on committed to, like, that ain't normal for me. Okay. I'm going to make sure that I guard that and protect my home life first, because if once that's strong, and once my wife and I are on point and we're together, and I'm sewing into my daughter and I'm sewing into my future kids, then I can go crush it in the marketplace. But without that first, it's going to be really hard. Like, if home life's tough, it's going to be really hard for you to reach your full potential in the marketplace. And that might be something that I even integrate into, you know, some of the conversation in a couple of weeks, because I believe that's an extremely important conversation to have, those priorities, know those boundaries, but still be able to be successful in chiropractic at the same time as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a vital conversation because, you know, hey, I've been practicing for 20 years, and I've had, like anybody else, ups and downs in that, because, you know, practice has ups and downs, personal life has ups and downs, and having all of that as a very, you know, very intentional about it is vital to your success with practice. I'll tell you, I can't wait to see you on stage at Mile High. I'm kind of like really giddy about it, being that I remember seeing you at 10 as a student, introduce yourself, and knowing what you've done in that time frame, and also know, you know, really from a vantage point of having experience in chiropractic, knowing what you have ahead of you, which I look forward to continue to watch. So we look forward to seeing you on stage at Mile High. Anything else you want to say before we go?
More than anything, man, just thank you. You know, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for what you guys have done. You know, it's an honor, and what a gift it is that we get to call chiropractic our profession. I mean, this is what we get to do day in and day out, and we get to strategize, we get to get better, we get to get better with the adjustments. And, you know, I mean, it's so fun, and I'm so passionate about it. Like tonight, I'm going to give a group doctor's report, and I've been doing 2 to 3 of these a week for 4 years, and I love it, man. Like, it saves me time, and I think it brings the most value. And I can get, you know, to get a room of people being like, wow, yes, like I see a vision for my life, for my health that makes sense, that's about my body functioning at its best. I love that. Yeah. And what a gift, you know what I mean? And so I hope you hear me say that I'm just grateful for you, man, and what you're bringing, and the fact that you're putting so much effort and energy into all of this so that chiropractic can benefit in a massive way. It's humbling to watch, man. Can't wait to catch you in about a week and a half.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Look forward to giving you a hug at Mile High. And look forward to all seeing everybody there at Mile High. If you have not reserved your seats, now's to, you know, it's better late than never. Do it now. www.riseuptomilehigh.com. If you enjoy the podcast, share it with someone else. Hit subscribe. You never want to miss a week of Mile High Tick. Keep changing spines, lives, and minds with chiropractic. We will see you on higher ground.
Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.